Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. And thanks for joining us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian continues his study entitled Living in the Light of the Lord's Return. And today, Pastor Brian picks up in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. So open your Bibles and let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 through 6. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. Wouldn't that be nice? We pray for such things. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but your hand shall release what is owed by your brother. Except when there be no poor among you, for the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. Now look at verse 6. For the Lord your God will bless you, just as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. And so the Lord says, I'm going to bring you into the land, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be able to loan money to other people rather than be that one that has to be a borrower. And that was one of the blessings that God was going to bring to these people. And you realize that the financial debt that we get into, that creates a lot of pressure, and it creates a lot of stress. And maybe there are things you would like to do for the kingdom of God, but financially you've already overextended yourself, and you're really not free to do what you'd want to in your heart, as well as for the things of the kingdom of God. We need to get ourselves out of that position and be free to be directed what the Lord has for our life. Now, I'm not saying that you can't borrow money to get a car or borrow money to get a house. I think what the scripture would command of you is what you owe, you need to pay. But then there's also a point where you know you're getting things that you don't have to have, you want them, and now you're putting financial stress upon your households. And one of the things that Lisa and I decided long before we ever had kids is that we'd live on one income. Whatever the church was to pay me, that's what my family would live on. And that means that we had to live within the framework of the finances that the Lord provided. And believe me, there were some radical, tough times, and there was some pressure. There were obviously things that, as a father, I wanted to get for my kids or for my wife, but I just wasn't able to do so. But that's a commitment that we made, and we lived within the means that we have. And I think that, that's a decision that I've never regretted for any minute, for any second, that my wife is home with the children, taking care of the kids and even homeschooling them. And, it's kind of like the Leave It to Beaver family back then, but I think that's more wholesome. Ozzie and Harriet, the Waltons, the whole deal. I mean, look what's happening to our society today, but people have got themselves into a place where their wife has to work, and even if the husband wanted the wife to stay home, she can't, because of credit cards, because of debts, and you've created a situation that you are now servant to that situation. You're really not on top. You're really not in control. You're forced to live this way. And what I think is what's happening now it's just become the norm, and the church people in the body of Christ don't even think twice. This is the way it is. And as I go back to the scripture, the scripture says the wife is to be the homemaker. I believe there's kids presence. That's a priority. Everything else is a pale second to that. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, but I think it's as men, I speak to the men, you're the head of the household. You know, I think if there's pressure on you to provide for the family, you know, you may go to school and you may, work harder at the job and get that promotion so that you can provide for the finances of the church, for your family. But when you say, well, my wife, you know, she has a good income, and then what happens to the life of the kids as well? And it's all because of debts. You know, I would think it'd be different. You know, analyze this with me. I think it'd be different if you didn't have any credit card debt, any bills, any store bills, any financial debts that you had, and you were both working and still just barely getting by. I think that'd be a total different situation than extending yourself with the credit, and that's the reason why. Because I needed to get that newer car, and now I got this car payment, and so now I'm in bondage to this, and I have to make these payments. And, my wife and I, we just decided, I didn't really plan on talking about this too much, but I think I need to. My wife and I decided we'd do with whatever means the Lord would provide. And, you know, that meant we didn't buy new cars. mean, some of the cars that we actually owned, they should have been taken out in shots. And there, you know, and also just thinking back on it, the Lord provided a mechanic to work on it. He'd work on it for free. And every time he'd see me, he'd go, oh, because the car was a headache to work on. And he'd work on it. The Lord put it in his heart to do so. So the Lord met our means in other ways. And there were times where I went and worked outside the church and worked and painted apartments and cleaned things and did whatever I had to do to make ends meet. I felt that was my responsibility. I wasn't going to rely upon the credit card and say, well, now we need two incomes and go on down that route. And people don't even think about this. It's just you get married, you both work, you have kids, and you both continue to work. That's just the pattern, even in the body of Christ. And I think we need to rethink through this. And I think this is a great scripture in Romans chapter 13, to be indebted to no one. Owe no one anything, then you're free. And you're free to make decisions as the Lord would direct you rather than in a situation that you cannot control. And it's that financial pressure that creates a lot of stress in the household. Let's go back to Romans 13. I mean, even with my wife and I, we have different perspective on money. But I won't go into that. So I'd challenge you tonight to think on this whole subject. I think we're living in a dark and evil time. I'm afraid of what's happening in the school systems, especially as we're getting into the junior high and high school age, and to send our children there under that, you know, influence, they need that parental authority there, that influence and that protection. I was just hearing on the radio today that a high school over here in Orange County, I think it's El Medina was the name, they're going to have a gay straight club on campus. And it's to get together to talk about, you know, homosexuals and straight so we could all get along and be all peaceful. And the community says, no way, we don't want it. So now it's got to go to the school board and all this, and it's a big hassle. But that's the direction that the world is going in. And our kids need protection. I mean, it's an evil time. It's a flood of influence. And I think that, unfortunately, the almighty dollar is influencing too many Christian families. That we have to have these things. You don't have to have them. We need to learn to be content and put our priorities. Our priorities is our family, and not trying to get ahead in the financial gain and the financial racket. It just creates a lot of stress. And if you owe somebody something, pay it, is what this passage of Scripture is saying. I think it would just be better to avoid being in debts and being that servant to the lender. What we are to owe people, it says, is to love one another, and that will never pay, right? You just continue to love, and that debt will never be paid in full. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul is just running through a series of commands. He doesn't quote all of them. What he's saying, the spirit of the commandments in your relationship to man is that you love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that, you're fulfilling what God would want of you. That is a holy lifestyle that would relate to the commandments of God. You don't have to think about it. Just love people, and you'll automatically fulfill. If you love someone, you're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to do that with someone else's spouse. You're not going to kill them, obviously. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to covet. You're not going to want what they have. You're going to be glad that they've been blessed. I think that's one of the true signs of love and friendship. When your friend gets blessed, you rejoice in that. You're not over there, oh, why didn't God do that for me, and jealous and envious, but you really rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And it's simply put, summarized there in the book of Leviticus, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let me just take a moment. He is not saying love yourself. Have a lot of self-esteem, because this is what pop psychology is trying to say. You need to first love yourself before you can love anybody else. Well, let's examine what does the Bible say on the subject about self-love. Look with me over at Ephesians chapter 5. You know what the problem is? We love ourselves too much. That's what the Bible says. And you want me to prove it? Who do you spend most of your time thinking about? When you woke up this morning, whose teeth did you brush? Whose hair did you comb? I didn't comb any, but maybe some of you did. mean, I'm so self-centered. I thought you were thinking about me when you woke up. I mean, we think about ourselves all the time.